Edge Radio On Demand is made possible by Profile Coffee, located at 15 Portwalk Place in downtown Portsmouth, and online at ProfileCoffeeBar.com. Rediscover coffee at Profile Coffee.
Can I just clarify? So thank you for that. That was one of the areas that it indeed is controversial. And part of my hesitation for labeling them as task force recommendations, because there is, if we were to do that, I feel there would be need to be further discussion to label them as task force recommendations, because not all of these are clear cut. There is some controversy in there, as you mentioned. My other question is, the CAP, Community Assistance Panel, was convened by ATSDR and is still continuing their work. And are these, and I don't know the answer to this, but I wasn't aware that they had actually put out official recommendations. So are these, so these aren't official recommendations from the CAP. So who,
summary of the work that's been done by the CAP, mm-hmm. and recommendations for some of the folks on the CAP. I don't believe the CAP is going to actually ever officially make recommendations. Their job is not to recommend in the way this task force is going to recommend.
Okay.
Their job is to monitor on an ongoing basis the cleanup and the study of those that have been exposed.
So these
the CAP,
aren't actually...
CAP is never going to make recommendations.
Yep. So these aren't actually CAP recommendations either, and I just wanted to clarify that point.
That's true.
Yeah, okay.
So could you tell us what's controversial about these? Because I don't really see anything controversial.
Well, no, it's not that the recommendations are controversial.
No, Dr. Chan just said they were.
Well, the
right. Well, that's not my issue. My concern is that, there are recommendations. I'm not pushing back at all. Except to say that if these don't reflect all of the different parties that are represented in the CAP, then the task force, what I guess we should do, I guess
I think we're in a muddle, and I don't think we need to be, for two reasons. One, the CAP was set up for a very specific purpose. It was convened by ATSDR to oversee the ongoing study of the population of people who have been exposed at Pease.
Right.
There was work done leading up to the formation of the CAP relative to what was happening in this community as a result of that exposure. We have to capture that somewhere. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily have to call it recommendations from the CAP. We don't have to call it recommendations from the task force. Because the work had been done by the CAP, and we both represent, as members of this task force, we both also serve on the CAP, and we both served on the community advisory group that was formed before the CAP, we're providing summary information about the work that's been completed. I think the only recommendation that raises concern that would be in any way, shape, or form questionable, because there's a difference of opinion at the state level about what is appropriate for ongoing biomonitoring, is the ongoing biomonitoring. And I think we should debate that here in this task force, because I think it should be a recommendation. And if it isn't going to be a recommendation, we should say why.
Yep.
And right now, that's not an appropriate function for ATSDR. ATSDR is not going to, they're busy figuring out how they're going to define a study and who's the funding going to come from. And it has nothing to do with what we're offering to community members right here today who've already been exposed relative to what they personally can do. So this is a gray area, because ATSDR's responsibility is to study what's going to happen 2 years from now, 5 years from now. How many people are going to be in the study? Is it going to be, it's just a different set of responsibilities. There was some overlap because of the community group that was formed before, and so there's still people who are meeting to work on those issues, and this biomonitoring piece is a big one, because you've got the testing for PEAS group, and you've got a bunch of other concerned citizens who've come forward and said, okay, I got my blood screened, I'm not going to be in, this health study's not going to happen for another year and a half or 2 years, what do I do, what should I be doing? So if we need more time on this task force as a group to figure out what we're comfortable recommending, let's take the time to get it done. But to submit this with anything about PEAS without recommendations for what's appropriate for this community or what should be done or what we should consider doing moving forward, I think would make it incomplete.
It's not my decision alone by any stretch.
I'm saying it to the whole group.
So this is something where if the decision were to take a closer look at the PEAS recommendations of this group. Kim, go ahead.
Well, Stephanie and I sat on the original CAB, which was the group before the CAP,
And they did come up with recommendations, and the whole CAB agreed on that. And I think biomonitoring might have been part of that. So could you accept the CAB's recommendations if you can't, if CAP's not going to? I do think we have limited time to complete this. It's just a question.
Yeah, I think
that makes more sense.
Yeah, it would make more sense. So what I would propose is that we spend a little bit of time at the next meeting focusing on peas. And again, and I agree 100% with what Stephanie has said in terms of the role of the task force is to get the information out. It may be that the information would be that the CAB has recommended this, that there is controversy associated with it. Go ahead.
Well, I'm also concerned about why Dr. Chan's concerned about it, because there are such limited state resources. And if that's part of this, and if he feels like the biomonitoring would fall to DHHS, I think we have to be very fair in our evaluation.
No, I mean, so, we shouldn't worry about
money.
Yeah,
just to clarify, we're not talking biomonitoring. Biomonitoring, at least in our use of the term, refers to testing for the PFC chemicals in people's blood. What is what has been debated and not agreed on by multiple parties, not just New Hampshire state government, is the issue of how to monitor somebody's health after exposure. And that comes down to an assessment of the scientific literature and a decision, a lot of times a clinical decision, about what's the best way to monitor monitor someone's health. And we have deferred people at the state level to discussion with their healthcare provider.
But so isn't that what ATSDR is deciding? In some ways, they are.
So, and again, this was part of my comment about not putting them in as recommendations, is because we could really go down a rabbit hole discussing this, because there's a lot of discussion, I think, that could be had around this. But I think very briefly, 3 years ago when the Department of Health started addressing this, there were not resources available to us to help message the community and healthcare providers. And so we, working with our partners, it wasn't just the Department of Health, it was the Northern New England Poison Center, the toxicologists there, environmental health physicians in New Hampshire and regionally down at Boston Children's Hospital. We reviewed the scientific literature and we came up with what we felt were scientifically based, evidence-based guidelines for the community and for healthcare providers around what these chemicals are, how to monitor someone's health. Now, there was obviously a lot of concern because people felt like some of these recommendations didn't go far enough. So we looked to ATSDR to try and develop a more standard national set of guidelines for how to monitor someone's health. And they did that. ATSDR, in fact, has, I think in December of 2016, put out guidelines for healthcare providers about how to monitor a patient's health. And after they put theirs out, we revised ours to be consistent. And so there's actually two different sets of healthcare guidelines out there, both of which are, I think, relatively similar, ATSDRs and the New Hampshire Department of Health. But what some members of the community have asked for is what they call medical monitoring. And this comes from the C8 science study out in West Virginia, Ohio, where based on this is the part that gets a little bit controversial, is because doctors like to base testing decisions on evidence-based medicine. But what we have out in the C8 science panel is a legal settlement that identified these probable links between PFOA exposure and health outcomes. And as a part of that legal settlement, there was a panel of clinicians that recommended certain medical testing to identify people that may have developed these medical conditions to be included and have their health monitored and be included in the legal settlement so that their health conditions could be reimbursed. So in that setting, it was part, and I'm sorry, I'm going on about this, but this is part of, in that setting, it was based on a legal settlement that medical monitoring was established. And so you have this tension between, what's been done in other states, as, Stephanie Shaheen mentioned, and what has been put out currently for healthcare provider guidelines. And that's what's referred to as medical monitoring.
And it's caused, so, I mean, just to clarify, it's caused confusion in the community.
Yes.
Because you have parents who have medical monitoring guidelines that they want implemented for their kids who are exposed to contaminated water at child care centers. And they're going to their health care provider and they're saying, I'd like my child to have labs done on an annual basis based on this medical monitoring protocol. And the doctor's saying, well, the state guidelines don't advise me to do that, so I'm not going to do the labs.
Right. So Dr. Chan and I have disagreed for a long time about the data that's available to support medical monitoring. And I just want to, I disagree wholeheartedly with his statement that this was based on a legal settlement. The legal settlement, and I want this to be on the record, and then I will come up with a proposal for how we're going to do this. The legal settlement actually funded a 60,000 person epidemiologic study in West Virginia. It is one of the largest and most complete and almost the only of its kind, focusing on a single compound in a single population. The study was performed not by randomly picked experts, but by experts actually picked by the plaintiff. So DuPont was the one who had to agree to these experts. And these panel of experts were nationally recognized experts in toxicology and in the epidemiology. And they came up with identifying the actual outcomes that people continue to say are controversial. But mostly the people who are saying these are controversial are 3M.
Right.
And 3M came out with a review of the literature, which is widely cited. And if you look at the last paragraph of it, 3M had editorial oversight over this article. So when we talk about physicians, we like evidence. We have a 60,000-person study done by multiple experts in the field that came up with very clear risks for C8 exposure in West Virginia and Kentucky. And the only major article that has called this to question that I know of is one that was actually funded by the manufacturer and edited by the manufacturer of the chemical in question. So the science is not as fuzzy as we think. As Representative Mesmer was at a conference in June at Northeastern University, which I was supposed to go to, but I couldn't. So this is not the legal profession telling us what our risk is. These are sound medical studies. And so what I'd like to propose, because we only have 5 minutes left, is I would like to propose that we start the next meeting. We continue this discussion for about 5 minutes and decide, and then we go into a presentation of the materials from the CAB and the CAP. And I agree with Stephanie that if, and I'm not going to make this decision, we're all going to make this decision, if we can get at some level where we can come up with recommendations for that have come out of the work that's been done on peas that we as a task force agree to, it sounds like almost all of them we can do that with. And I would invite Dr. Chan to bring arguments in support or against the idea of medical monitoring. But if we can do that, then we should include that under recommendations and invite, and I don't know, Kim, if you or Stephanie can do this, go back to the CAP and say we would like to make sure everybody's represented if at all possible. So if there are other entities that want to be a part of providing materials for us to put in the appendix, they should be able to.
It needs to be agreed upon by the committee.
Correct.
We could vote on it.
But that would be my proposal, is that we spend the beginning of the next meeting talking about that.
And more than 5 minutes, I hope.
No, no. The 5 minutes would be, are we going to go ahead with this? If we are, then I think we could spend. We do need to limit it because we are under some time pressure. I think we do need to get a final report out.